This is episode 197 on February 9th, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
Welcome, Matt. How are you doing, man?
I am good, Joe. How are you doing?
I am doing good. It's been another week. I've had quite an adventure. I have a new guy at work that I'm training up, and so I get to pour all 9 years worth of experience into one person in a week and see how they do.
Oh, that sounds very fun and exciting.
Yeah. Now, he won't be thrown out to the wolves in a week, but the week's done, and so it's we'll have more adventures, I guess. How are you doing, man? What you been up to?
Oh, I don't know. I acquired quite the little sticker collection this past week from the app Screw It, or at least the developers of that app anyway, have sent me a whole bunch of Screw It stickers and mirror stickers, and I have more stickers than I know what to do with.
Very cool.
So that's fun. Yeah, that's fun. So I put it out there on the Facebook group that I have all these stickers, and that if anybody wanted some, just let me know and I'll send you some. And I don't think anyone took me seriously.
Oh.
Except for Pete Donovan. And so I sent him some stickers at the beginning of the week, and hopefully he enjoys those. But I have like a whole stack of them here on my desk.
How many do you have?
I don't think that maybe I don't have as many as I thought I had. I probably still have like 50 stickers, which is a lot. <It's> like,
I was waiting for you to say 10, 50. Wow. Are they all, I know there was a bunch of different ones, but like how many varieties and, how many do you have of those varieties?
Well, there's like this one longer sticker that is hashtag all hail symmetry. Yeah, it's probably about 8 inches long or so, like maybe like an inch by like 8 inches. I only have one of those. They only sent me two. And then there's like a like inch and a half square sticker that's has like this the Screw It logo on it, and it says SKRWT. It's a pretty cool sticker. I only have two of those left. No, I should say I have one because I intend to keep one.
Yes.
And then I have stickers that say hashtag Screw It and hashtag Mirror, which is their other app. And I have, goodness gracious, I don't know, a bunch of different like color combos of those.
Okay.
Maybe like five or six different ones. I don't know. And then I have several of each of them.
Well, I think some people should take up on the offer too.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll take a couple.
All right. Consider it done.
Woohoo. Score.
Yeah. But so stickers isn't the only thing though. I did manage to get out and take some pictures over the weekend. We were up in Cleveland again. We've been up there a lot lately for various reasons, but I found myself with a smidgen of free time in like the very late afternoon. So my original plan was to go out along the lake and do I just wanted to do like long exposures, and I was just going to go find like a cool spot along the lake, maybe with like some rocks or something, and I don't know, just do some kind of long exposure stuff where the waves of the lake just kind of end up getting all flattened out or whatever. And so I went to a spot, and it turned out to be just a really bad choice. It didn't have the kind of scenery I was looking for, and it was just exceedingly cold, and I was not really dressed for it at all. So I froze my butt off. So I took like a couple pictures, and then I decided just to go like into the city and just go find some cityscapes. And I ended up at like a spot that I photograph at all the time, and so does every other photographer that lives in or around Cleveland. But it's such a cool little spot to photograph, like the skyline of Cleveland. It's like along a river that kind of flows through the city and eventually empties out into Lake Erie, but it's just a cool little spot. And so I did a bunch of pictures there, all with the iPhone. I didn't have any of my other cameras with me. And I did primarily slow shutter cam, but I did test out like a couple other apps. I forget who it is in our group, but there's one gentleman that always posts like free apps, like apps when they become free, you know? And he posted one over the weekend. It was AC-DC Pro, I think is what it was called. And I'm familiar with them from their desktop app, and they make like pretty good software. So I thought, well, geez, you know, it's normally $7, so I may as well download it if it's free and just check it out. You know, worst case scenario, I don't like it, and I just delete it off my phone. So I played with that a little bit. It has raw capture, so I felt like it was worth it.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. I just played with a couple other apps that kind of do like the higher quality photos, like a Cortex camera and stuff like that, where, you know, it takes like a whole bunch of pictures and combines it together to make like a higher megapixel picture.
Yeah.
So I did, you know, everything was on a tripod, and I don't know, it was fun. I got a bunch of pictures that I really liked. And then the bonus thing was on my way, we'll just say on my way home, when I was leaving, when I was done taking pictures, I found a spot with a view of the city I'd never seen before. So that's on my agenda for like the next time I go up to Cleveland. Because by the time I found this viewpoint, it was pretty much like completely dark.
Yeah.
And I really don't like to photograph then. I like for there to be at least some color in the sky.
Uh-huh.
So I'm saving this other little spot for like the next time I go up there.
Okay, real quick. How do you do the AC-DC Pro on iTunes? On the App Store? Because I can't find it.
Okay. It's the letters A, C, D, and then C, like S-E-E.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, I haven't spent too much time playing around with that yet, but it looks like a nice app. You know, it's got like I said, the camera function, you can capture in RAW, so that's pretty cool. And it looks like it has a lot of nice editing features. I just haven't really spent too much time playing with it, but definitely for free, it looks good. But it might not be free anymore. I'm not sure.
Okay.
So in any case, pretty cool stuff. And then the only other thing that happened this week was it snowed like last night and today. Today is Thursday. So we got a little bit of snow, like a couple inches. And when I was out and about today, I managed to snag a few pictures, which I'll share with everyone soon.
Very cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm going to definitely check this one out and see what it's all about, but that's cool. Let's see here. It looks like we might have ourselves a visitor.
Ho, 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 ho.
Oh, it's Mark Sadowski. What?
Hey, guy. Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. How are you doing?
I am experiencing a serious snowpocalypse right now.
Really?
Yeah, we are. I don't know how it is for you guys. I know how it is for you, Joe. you're in like your sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows everywhere.
It was a high of 50 degrees today. Woohoo!
Go fornicate yourself with that good weather you're having, because it absolutely blows here. Not only did the good creator shake his dandruff hair all over this place, but he decided to close the refrigerator, and now it's like it's just the temperature is just dropping. So not fun.
Well. I'm glad you can at least contact us through the blizzard.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they didn't take away the internet too, but you know.
So how are you doing, man?
Dude, I am doing super. I wanted to come on to let you guys know that a second Chasing Landscape is going to be uploaded tonight. And it's a 20 gig file, so sometime in the next week it should be ready on YouTube. No, I'm kidding. It should be ready by sometime tomorrow. I'm going to let it run through the night just to upload this file. But it's something that I wasn't considering uploading because I thought I did a terrible job. And, you know, I mean, jury's out. It could still very well be terrible.
We're our own worst critics, though, you know.
It's true. No, I've seen YouTube. They're, trust me, people can beat me. And people will. So what I did was on November 14th, I was up in the Hillsborough County area of southern New Hampshire. Yeah. And there's an area there called the Four Falls. Matt, you should pretty much know about this area. It's Tuckerbrook Falls. We have Garwin Falls, Center Falls, and there's one escaping me, Purgatory Falls. Photos that you've all seen before. I've posted them on Instagram and everything. But during this particular time, I was photographing with the brand new at the time, brand new iPhone 7 Plus and the updated slow shutter cam version 4.0. And, the photos that came from that event were really cool. So I dug into the video again and salvaged what I could, because my video taking skills is less than desirable. But I did it. I managed to squeeze out 20 minutes and I'm excited to upload this.
Nice. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
And I apologize for it being 20 minutes, 19 minutes and change. But it is four waterfalls that I'm photographing within like a 10 mile radius. So, next time I'll try to, keep it to two or three. So, I can't wait to upload this. I wanted to share it with you guys. And
yeah.
Yay. I'm out of steam now.
Mark, believe it or not, I've never photographed any of those.
You haven't? But you've heard of them.
Yeah, I've heard of all of them, yeah.
And it's a really nice area. Southern New Hampshire doesn't get that much love, especially when it comes to like outdoor things like hiking and, I mean, waterfalls, because that's something you expect in like the high mountain area. So it's someplace that I really wanted to focus on for the second Chasing Landscapes, and then I'll head back into the cool area.
Well, very cool. Yeah. How many? So I think you said we've been gaining some more YouTube followers.
Yes. Just this past week, we reached 600, and I think we're at 605 officially as of right now. So it's been going really, really well, and the feedback has been really positive. I think through the views of the YouTube channel, I mean, we have 600 subscribers, but the views that we've been getting is pretty tremendous. And, you know, the cross promotion between the podcast and the YouTube channel and the YouTube channel to the podcast, I think has created quite the synergy. And sorry for using corporate evil terms there, but it really has. I mean, we've been getting new listeners left and right. We've been getting a ton of just new contributors to our Facebook group. And, you know, it's just been really, really awesome. And I am just super excited to see where 2017 brings us with Tiny Shutter.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Totally. So what have you guys been talking about today?
I've been talking about myself for the last 10 minutes.
That is awesome. That is a great topic. And this is the introduction podcast, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Right on, man.
So no, right, we did that already.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't listen to that one yet. I'm actually going backwards. I just finished the one with Dave. That was a great show.
Yeah.
So I'm still working backwards. I figured I can get to the introduction stuff a little bit later, since I already know you guys. So.
Oh, it's pretty revealing. You think you know us, but you'll find out.
Ooh.
Yep. No, doing our what did we do this week, and then we're going to move into some news.
Oh my God, you guys are still on that part? I thought you guys would have been like halfway done by now.
Hey, now, see, the people listening at home right now have no idea when we started. Now, the people in the chat do, but that's different.
No worries. I'll blame the weather, because that's what I'm doing for everything else today. Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I think we can go ahead and move into the news and then move to our focus point. So let's do this first.
And I'm going to stick with you guys as long as I can until my wife yells at me.
All right. So you probably couldn't hear it because a little behind the scenes, Matt can't hear my soundboard, but apparently the chat room can and the people listening at home can.
Okay, this is interesting, because I did not hear the soundboard.
No, you didn't. So that's odd.
All right, so a little bit of troubleshooting. I am on my iPhone right now talking to you. When I am on my laptop, when I have the podcasting gear up, I can hear it, but through this, I can't.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
You know what? It'll surprise me later.
Yeah. All right. So in the news this week, we had a Facebook contributor post a link about the Moment Lens. And he's on the show. So
Matt, you devil, you.
No, I think you beat out Matt on that one, but
you know, I actually was looking on the on the feed to see if he had already done it, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna beat him to it. I can't wait.
Well, yeah, I should have just did it when I first saw the Kickstarter, because, you know, I don't know, that I was like, I'll do it later.
All right.
Right on.
So let's see here. Moment Lens has a Kickstarter out, and it's the all new Moment Lens. It says all new Moment for iPhone 7 and 7 Plus. And they have, of course, their they have a battery photo case. They have the regular photo case, and then they have the all new new wide lens. So, Mark, why don't you go ahead and mention about these and what a few of the different options are for backing this project?
I don't have the details of what, like all a lot of the details on what's being backed, because quite frankly, when I looked earlier in the week, a lot of it was already taken. So it's like, oh, screw you guys, then you're not getting my money. But basically, you have two new cases. One of them is for that contains the battery. One of them is just a regular case for the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus. And you have the brand new wide angle lens. And so as far as things to get, you would have various combinations of the three to back and, you know, take your pick. But let me tell you, the pickings are slim. I think there's maybe one or two things out there. And I haven't seen if they updated anything, if they added some new stuff. But that's pretty much it. It is those three items that they're promoting, and they're looking for $500,000. And as of this recording right now, they're up to $240,000 with 57 days to go.
Wow.
Something tells me that they'll make it.
I think they'll
make it. Yeah, they will, because 2 days ago they had like $160,000.
Truth be told, I'm surprised they haven't made it already. But, you know.
It's kind of a niche thing.
It is.
So, just real quick, I've been looking for the details here, but they're really hard to find without watching the video, and I don't feel like doing that right now. But regarding the battery case, they're different milliamps for the 7 and 7 Plus, but they're designed so that they can fully recharge your phone.
Yeah.
So regardless of whether you have the 7 or 7 Plus, the battery case gives you a whole extra charge of your battery, which is pretty cool. And then as far as the 7 Plus goes, they designed it in a way that you can mount your Moment lens over either lens.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool too. I think it's pretty cool. I don't know. I don't have a 7 Plus, so, but I'm going to imagine that that's pretty cool.
All right. So let's get Joe's thoughts and then I'll ruin it with my opinion.
All right. I am the only one that has never used the Moment lens, and Matt gives me a hard time about it because I've only used the Oloclip and the stylus. But I do like a battery pack for the iPhone because it does help when you're out and about to have something to be able to keep your phone charged, because when you're taking photos or doing video and you're out in nature, your battery will get used up, and it's always nice to have something that will keep you fully charged, because you don't want to be stuck out in nature with a dead battery. Not only are you not going to be able to get any images, but you need to be able to have safety in mind when it comes to being in nature. The only thing I would see that I would like would probably be that battery case. And then, wide angle lenses are fun, but the regular case, I don't know. I can probably do without. Let's see. It looks like they have some options to back, and I think the most expensive option, which is the deluxe kit with the battery, is one of those. And I think it's the only one that has an actual case that you carry everything in, a leather strap, a lens pen, and three lenses of choice with three caps. And I think that was it. But there are still options to back, and it looks like some of the more, like most of the regular kits, all except for one. Yeah, all except for the deluxe kit and the standard kit with the regular case is still available. So there's still options there. So what are your thoughts on this, Matt?
Oh, I like it. I think it's, I have a Moment case for my 6S Plus, and I super duper like it. I think the fact that it kind of connects through Bluetooth and has like a shutter button on it and kind of makes the phone feel like a little bit more like a camera is just really cool. And, you know, I know the moment lens, I have the wide angle lens and it's certainly not perfect, but compared to other wide angle lenses that I've tried, it blows them away. The optical quality is really good. It's definitely my favorite accessory lens to use with my iPhone. So if I was planning to get a 7 Plus, which I'm not planning to, but if I was, I would definitely be backing this project.
Nice. Any last thoughts, Mark, on this?
Okay. So let's review here for a second. And I don't mean to be a grumpy Gus here, but I'm going to be a grumpy Gus. The fact that you can use the essentially any lens for either side, right? So I could take that wide angle lens and throw it on the wide side, or I could throw it on the telephoto side, right?
Right.
Why would I want to throw the wide angle lens on the telephoto side when I could just as well use the native wide angle? So like it just turns it back to normal, but crappier quality. Because you're just putting,
sure.
You know, it cancels out what it's intended to do.
Sure. Yeah.
Wow. And I mean, okay. Alternatively, you can the telephoto lens on the telephoto side and make it even telephotier.
I think you just made that a word? New term. Okay. Sure.
I don't know. I think here, this is ultimately my issue with these devices and why I am not going to do this anymore, because I can't throw money at this anymore. Basically, they made a new wide angle lens to perform better on the brand new iPhones. The new wide angle lens is now optically designed to take into the iPhone 7's optics into play and make it sharper, make it better, blah, blah, blah. You know, if you're one of those people that upgrades your phone every year, you know, this becomes pretty crazy and pretty expensive. And not only that, but, you know, not only am I updating my glass, which is what I'm guessing once it hits the market, about $100. You're going to update your case as well, and that's going to be another, let's just say, $70. I'm throwing that figure out of my butt because I don't know for certain. So it's another $300. And I'm sorry, like, as much as I enjoyed using them in the past, the optics, you have to be prepared to know how to photograph with these because they're not corner to corner sharp. And I don't know. Now that I have the native telephoto lens with the iPhone, you know, that spoiled me because, you know, everything I'm doing is corner to corner sharp. Yeah. I don't have to worry about that one area that looks off because of physics. If this is your first time entering this and you want something like this, by all means, go for it. But I think if you want, if you want to dabble with, I think if you want to dabble with a wide angle lens, I think you could save yourself a lot of money and just go for the Aukey lens. That you could get for like $30.
Yeah.
So that's my two cents. I think it's too much money at this point.
Real quick, I just want to defend this just ever so slightly. Real quick, I would say for anyone who's concerned about the optical quality of the Moment wide angle lens, go into our Facebook group, look at the most recent photo that I posted. It's just a city skyline picture with like a bridge over a river of Cleveland. I did that just this past weekend. I shot that with the Moment wide angle lens. And yeah, if you blow it up, it's, you know, definitely not tack sharp at the edges, but it looks pretty dang good.
You're right. That photo came out pretty awesome. And again, I'm just absolutely nitpicking. Like, you can get around the issue, but I'm just saying you just have to be aware of what its limitations are and then work around it. I don't know. That's just me. I like going au naturel with my lenses now.
Yeah.
Yeah, to each his own, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I personally very much enjoy, I wish that this wasn't the case, but I enjoy my Moment wide angle lens much more than I enjoy the Stylus wide angle lens.
Yeah.
And I don't have a Moment telephoto lens, but I super duper like the Stylus telephoto lens. So I actually put myself in a situation not too long ago where I was actually carrying both the brands of cases and lenses with me. And yes, it was annoying, but you know, it was what I needed to do to get the shots I wanted to get with the iPhone. So,
right.
You know, I guess it a little bit defeats the purpose of, you know, the way people see iPhone photography, where you just have your phone in your pocket and that's all you need to shoot. But, you know, it wasn't really killing me to stuff a case and some lenses in my coat pocket. But, that's just where I'm at right now. The Stylus telephoto lens is just, oh, it's so fantastic. And, you know, the Moment wide angle lens, I think, is a really great wide angle lens. I don't know. There's just something about that lens. I think maybe because it's heavy and it's metal and it's glass, and I was just in love with it from the second I got it.
Yeah. But you know what? I'll go one step and say this. This new wide angle lens that Moment came out with, if it is that much of an improvement, you know, all the more power to them. But here's the thing. I have spent so much money on iPhone accessories that I just can't afford to do it again.
Right.
It's right. You know, if they made tremendous improvements, and you know what, if it is corner to corner sharpness, awesome. I will eat my words and possibly a hat, depending on what it's made of.
Yeah.
So I am more than willing to accept that I was a complete and utter daft. However, I can't do it because I can't afford it.
Right, so. Exactly. We can't buy everything that that these guys put out. It's just, I mean, we could, but then, you know, we have to, you know, face the fact that our wives would probably have issues with it too.
Yeah, we can't afford to constantly buy these iPhone accessories and the lawyer that will come with it and make divorce.
Oh yeah. Well, cool.
Then you lose half your accessories.
That's right.
That's putting it mildly.
Well, we'll have a link in the show notes for the Kickstarter so you guys can look at it and, you know, decide whether to back it or not. Well, cool.
And hey, if somebody does get it and if you want to offer your experience with it, go ahead and shoot us a message to tinyshutter@gmail.com.
Very cool.
Right on. All right.
All right. Are you going to stick around or do you have to go? Because we have one more thing left to do. Actually, two more things.
I'm going to jump ship right now. And because my son has been bugging me for something.
Okay.
While you guys were talking, I was actually feeding him mac and cheese. and now I'm going to go upstairs and tuck him into bed. So, you know what? Thank you very much for having me on. I know it was a bit of a last minute thing to come on, but I just wanted to pop on, say hi. I'm still alive. Cool stuff is around the corner. And I just need to upload it. So,
okay. Well, cool. Thanks, Mark.
No problem. And
all right, Mark.
I will listen to the rest of the show when it's downloaded. And thank you, Chat Channel, for being there. You guys are awesome as always, even though I can't see you right now. But I'm sure all of them are really cool right now.
Yeah, they're like, they all have their Mark pants guy off. It's kind of awkward.
Oh, no, that's totally cool. That's the place to do it. That's the place to do it. So anyway, that's all. Take care, guys. Have a good rest of the show.
All right, we'll see you. All right.
Cheers.
All right, let's go ahead and move into our focus point.
Focus point.
All right. So today we're going to talk about one of the things that we've been doing lately. It's almost like an educational thing, but we're going to talk about composition.
Yeah, we've been getting back to basics.
Yeah, getting back to basics and, you know, stuff that we had learned in school is stuff that I think most people don't know or have taken for granted. And these are things that are going to help us with our photography. So today we're going to talk about composition and some of the rules that we have. So, Matt, why don't you go ahead and lead us off in this exercise?
All righty. So, we decided that composition should be kind of towards the forefront of the different topics that we have planned to talk about over the next couple months, because kind of without composition, you really don't really have much of anything. Composition is pretty much king when it comes to photography. I would say, think about it this way. Nobody really wants to look at a technically perfect, boring picture.
Yes.
Because no one's going to, you know, look at it long enough to realize that it's perfectly exposed and that it's tack sharp. Right. So you can have a picture that's not technically perfect, but has just a killer composition.
Yes.
And that's a picture that people are going to linger on, and they're not going to be so concerned that maybe it's a little dark or a little too bright, or, you know, maybe part of it's blurred or something like that. So composition is really, really important. And basically, there was a photographer, who, when asked what composition was, he has a quote that I really, really liked, and it's stuck with me. The photographer is Edward Weston, and if you don't know who he is, I would suggest that you Google him and kind of take a look at his work. But you know, he was a photographer from the early 1900s, if I have my timeline right. And did a lot of black and white work, and it's just really phenomenal stuff. But he said that composition is the strongest way of seeing. And the important thing there is that what he's saying about composition is that it's a way of seeing, like a scene or a subject, and it's kind of the best way to see it. So there's like there's lots of different ways to like see your subject or to see your scene. And you know, let's just say you're photographing like a still life. You know, you can arrange I don't know, let's just say it's flowers. You know, there's so many different ways that you can arrange it, and you know, you could spend all day just coming up with tons and tons of different arrangements. But I guess if you really spent the time, you know, to think about the particular elements of the flowers and kind of how they relate to each other, you can really come down to the best way to photograph it, the best composition. And that's a little bit kind of like what Edward Weston was talking about. Did that make any sense at all, Joe, or did I just say nonsense for like 5 minutes?
No, composition. I mean, a lot of times people take a picture and that's the last time they ever see it. Something that has composition. I was looking at my wall, and I have a picture of my wife sitting up on a rock. We were at Bodega Bay in California, and I took a picture of her, and I love the image. Not only is my wife in it, but it just it's something that is always, you know, catching my eye. And I noticed that, you know, I used some rules in there with composition that created some tension, and it was not, you know, it's not a perfect photo, but it is one of my favorites. And there, you know, because some of the things that I used that I learned, I applied. And I didn't say, oh, I'm going to do this technically and use all the rules that I used. It was muscle memory. It was stuff that I did over the years that became muscle memory, so that I don't have to think about it. I can point my camera at a subject or a landscape or something like that, and I can frame it without having to say, oh, is it this way or is it that way? Because sometimes when you do it enough, you don't think about the things that you have to do with composition. Even those things are very important. And so it is all about the framing and how you see things and what you want to show people. So I think you were right.
All right, that's good to hear.
So let's go over some of the rules of composition. Now, you have a few that you want to discuss, so go ahead and start with some of your rules.
Okay. Yeah, so there's like some different ways of composing that are commonly known as the rules of composition, but like with any rule in the world of art, you know, it's certainly not a hard and fast rule, and rules are always made to be broken.
Yes.
But the rule that pretty much everybody knows, that everyone's heard of. In fact, we even just recently did a weekly challenge with this as the theme, is the rule of thirds.
Yes.
Basically, what the rule of thirds is if you just think of your photo or even think of the viewfinder of your or the screen of your phone. Let's just say the screen of your phone is divided into three equal parts, both vertically and horizontally. And in the rule of thirds, the idea is to place your subject or whatever the dominant thing in your scene is on kind of like one of the intersections of those thirds. So, you know, top or bottom left or top or bottom right, somewhere in that area. And it just kind of it's a little bit more pleasing than placing something dead center in your picture in most cases, because it kind of makes your eye wander around the picture. Yes. And kind of take it all in.
Yes. Well, like I mentioned in other episodes, is you're trying to create tension, and the tension is what draws your eye. And so the intersecting points of these lines are the tension areas. And when you frame your image, let's take a portrait, for example. Most times people will take a portrait in portrait mode when it is vertically taller than it is wide. And so it's sometimes difficult to do a rule of thirds in that framing, but where the eyes are in the image is typically where those lines intersect. And so most of the time when you take a portrait in landscape and you frame it to where somebody is in the left or the right side of the frame, you want that intersecting point to be kind of where the eye is. And it leaves a lot of dead space, which creates that tension. So, you know, it can be something that you choose to do, but then also I've seen some images, depending on what's in the background or what's in the foreground, where the subject was dead center in the middle of the frame. But they were able to create the tension without having to use the rule of thirds. So it's something that you should practice and be aware of, because a lot of times we'll look at an image, go, that is an awesome image. And if we don't know what the rule of thirds is, we won't be able to say, oh yeah, that's because of this. The tension is there and I can see how great an image this is. But now that you know it, once you've mastered it, then you can do things that kind of break that rule.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with you there.
All right. And so another rule is the golden rule. So explain that one, because I have not really mastered that one. It's one that I think there was a new app that we got that had that as an option to be able to have in the viewfinder. But I still don't understand how to use that one.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny when you see kind of like that, the grid layout for the golden rule, it looks really intimidating, but it's actually a really, really simple rule. In fact, the golden rule is a rule that's been around pretty much since ancient Greek times, and it was something that like the master painters from the Renaissance used quite a bit, you know, to compose their paintings.
Yeah.
Basically, the golden rule is where you're kind of putting the important part of your picture in like one of the bottom, like the bottom, let's just say the bottom right corner of the image. And you're going to put it like roughly 1/4 of the image height up from the bottom and then 1/4 of the image width in to the left. So kind of like on that intersection. And the reason for putting it there is that theoretically, you know, we read from right to left, right? Or yes. From left to right, excuse yes. me. And so by putting the important part of your picture in that bottom, towards that bottom right corner, your eye is scanning the entire picture until it gets to that important part of the picture. So your eye is seeing the whole picture and then gets drawn to that important part of the picture. So it's almost like you're reading a book in a way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it says, I looked this up on Google. It says, there's one other way to use the golden ratio in to compose a photograph. Instead of using the spiral, create a grid like in the rule of thirds, but the one that uses the 1:1.618 ratio, instead of dividing the frames into equal parts. So it's sort of like, you know, I'm very much everything has to be symmetrical. I have to have symmetry in my life or, you know, my OCD kind of goes out of whack. This one kind of breaks down my symmetry and would cause me to be like, oh, I want it straight. I want it equal. I want everything to to fit just nicely. And it does kind of force you to do something a lot different.
Yeah. Well, if you want to see kind of like what that grid looks like without having the weird, crazy spiral thing that that everyone's talking about, if you have the ProCam app, I know they have a golden rule grid that you can overlay on the screen, and that doesn't have the spiral thing. It kind of is more in line with what you just read off Google there.
Yeah. So you said the ProCam?
Yeah, ProCam.
Okay. Very cool. All right. Next we have Leading Lines. So go ahead with that.
All right. I think Leading Lines is another compositional rule that we recently did a weekly challenge on. And basically, leading lines are just lines that lead your eye into the composition or you know, into the image. Good examples of that would be like a road or railroad tracks, or even, and I did this today, actually, a river.
Oh, nice.
You know, so, you know, you have these lines that kind of usually go at like a diagonal angle from, you know, typically near one of the corners of the picture and maybe go towards the center of the picture. And that helps kind of direct your eye, you know, through the scene.
Yeah, absolutely. A river, a winding road, even you can take like fence posts and have, you know, in you know, use anything that's around you that's kind of pointing in a certain direction. You can use those as leading lines because you're wanting to force your viewer to a specific subject. So that's a good one. All right, and then we have perspective.
Yeah, so perspective in some ways can tie in with leading lines. Let's say you're standing in the middle of a street in a city and you just photograph straight down the street, you know, so you're going to have leading lines and perspective, you know, in that picture. So basically, you know, you'll have the lines from the street that kind of converge together as it gets towards the center of the picture. And then where perspective comes into play is basically with the buildings, you know, the buildings that are closest to you. And those are probably going to be towards the edges of the picture, you know, at the left and right edge. Those are going to be, you know, really big buildings. But the more towards the center of the photo you get, the further down the road you're looking, the smaller those buildings are going to look.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a good example of perspective. And I like to use perspective when I'm I don't really do this as much anymore, but, you know, when I used to do a lot of pictures of people hiking or skiing or whatever, you know, that's actually why I would include them in the picture, because a lot of times you can't get a sense for how grand a landscape is without putting something in the picture that is of a known size.
Right.
So, you know, if I showed a person in the picture and, you know, you just guessed that the person's maybe around 6 foot tall and they look like a tiny speck in the picture, you know, you're going to be like, whoa, that is really just a huge epic place that person's in, you know, so that's another way to use perspective.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Anytime, you know, I like to try to fool people with perspective, you know, especially if I take a picture of a toy or something like that and make it, you know, make it look like it's the real thing. That's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. And you can always like do like really weird, I don't know, I guess you'd call it creative stuff with perspective too, where, you know, just depending on how you're photographing or looking at a scene, you could, you know, make an object that's, maybe really, really big, but far away, look like, you know, an ordinary size object. I can't think of a good example right now, but I've seen, you know, some of those kind of things where maybe it's like a sculpture of like a basketball that's like, you know, just this obscenely just huge sculpture, and it's photographed in a way where it literally just looks like a ordinary size basketball.
Oh, you mean like when you go to Italy and stand in a way that looks like you're pushing up the Tower of Pisa?
Yes, that's perspective also.
or you go to
pinching
Paris.
The sun between your fingers. Yeah.
Go to Paris and pretend like you're touching the top of the Eiffel Tower.
Yes, those are very non-creative ways to use perspective, but yes.
Oh, awesome. All right, and I think the last one we'll do for today is frame within a frame.
Yeah, so that's I never really thought much about this as a compositional rule, but it's definitely one that I do from time to time, and I know some of you guys do it too, because I see it in the, you know, the pictures that you all post in Facebook and on Instagram and everything. But that's basically where you're using elements in your scene to kind of frame the main subject of your scene. So like a pretty common example is like, you know, trees or tree branches that are kind of sticking in from, you know, all sides of the picture, but there's kind of like a nice clear, you know, spot in the center or whatever that you're looking through, almost like a window through the trees, you know, and, you know, you're looking out at the mountains or a lake or whatever. You know, out west, it was really easy to do a frame within a frame. You know, if you went to Canyonlands or Arches National Park or something and use those arches to basically as like a border for your picture and photograph, you know, the scene through the arch or whatever. You know, so that kind of thing. That's definitely a compositional element that I don't think a lot of people think about it too much. They just kind of do it.
Yeah. It's a lot of times people do it when they like take a picture of a house. If you can peer into the door or window. But, you know, I always do it when I take a picture out the window of my car. I'm joking.
I didn't even understand the joke.
Well, because, you know, a lot of times the roof and the door. All right. So we have rules. There's other rules like symmetry. There's, you know, we've mentioned. There's other things that you can use in your composition. One of them is like having objects that are in there that are, you know, one could be straight, the other could be crooked. There's just things that you can do to bring creativity to your image. And, you know, one of the things that we have to do is train our eye. As we walk around, whether it's in a city or if we're in nature or doing whatever, you know, train your eye to look for things that cause that tension. How would you frame it? How would you set up your image? If it's a still life, you know, what are you going to have things that are going to be in there? Because if it all looks all nice and neat, sometimes that's boring. You know, a lot of times, I think food photography is great, and we have some really good food photographers in our group. I'm making Matt salivate right now. But, you know, if you've ever looked at, you know, food photography, you know, hipsters, food photography, everything has to look neat. It has to all be kind of put around. I want to see food photography where the food's like almost half eaten. You know, there's, you can see where the juices have leaked out of the steak and, you know, are puddled up on one side of the plate, you know, because that looks like something I want to eat. You know, I want to, like, somebody's enjoyed it, you know, but that, you know, then again, you have somebody go, oh, that's a mess. So, you know, whatever you do, you know, think outside the box. Don't do what everybody else is doing, or do what everybody else is doing and then move on and do something different, because that's what sets our images apart, is when we're able to take something and put our own personality into it and create something people want to see.
I couldn't have said it better.
Well, you probably could have, but so, all right. Yeah, you know, we've mentioned composition a lot lately. This is something good. There's probably going to be some elements we'll take from this and expound on in other episodes. But if you guys have any type of insight or examples or anything that you've done with composition, let us know. We want to see what you guys are doing. And then when you post an image, say on Facebook, explain what you did, explain what you were trying to do. And, you know, and that way, not only do you let us know what you're doing, but when you explain things to others, it helps you to learn better. I've always said that if I can teach something to someone, not only am I teaching them, I'm teaching myself. If what I'm teaching isn't being understood, maybe I have to rethink how I teach. So, you know, this is a good exercise in not only, you know, showing somebody what you've done, but explain so that, number one, they'd understand, and two, you would better understand yourself. All right. I think it is time for us to move to our post pick of the week. What do you think, Matt?
I agree with you.
All right. And here. All right, this week it is my turn to pick, and our weekly photo challenge for last week was depth of field, and we had a lot of great examples of depth of field in our Facebook group, and it was hard to choose, but I chose one in particular because, number one, I like cars, and number two, it was a great example of depth of field. The foreground was out of focus, the background was out of focus, and there was that small area of focus on the image. And Greg McMillan took a picture of a NASCAR, and you know, for those of you outside of the United States and Canada, NASCAR is a racing circuit that is popular here in the United States and apparently Canada too, because Greg McMillan is from Canada. And I'm going to assume that this is a toy, because if it is actually a real race car, I'd be very impressed. But the image is of a race car where the wheel is in focus and part of the door, but the fender on the front and the rear quarter panel are out of focus, and so whatever's in focus your eye is drawn to. But not only that, some of the stuff that is out of focus is a point of tension too, and is very colorful. So Matt, what did you think of this image?
Well, I will agree with you that it is a good example of depth of field.
Yes. Go ahead.
You're putting me on the spot here. This picture just doesn't do it for me.
Matt and I had a conversation beforehand.
Greg, I love you, and I generally like your photography, but this picture just doesn't do it for me.
And, you know, I'm a sucker for cars. I know, you know, and so I like it. I like the... I like that the subject is very colorful. The background is white, but it also is vignetted, and so the white is mostly around the subject. So it is very colorful, and I like that tension between having a lot of busyness with the car and a plain background. I really think this is a great image. So. Matt and I had a discussion beforehand. He's like, but it's boring. I'm like, no, it's not. It's great. This is awesome. And this is a good example of how two people can look at the same image and have totally different opinions about them. So congratulations, Greg. You are our post pick of the week. If you want to be featured as Post Pick of the Week, go on to Instagram and Facebook and post images. On Facebook, we will have a link where you will be able to, it's not a link, it's a post where you can add your images to that post and be able to post those images, see what other people are doing. And when we pick the post pick of the week, that becomes our album art and our Facebook banner for that week. And I think I want to do composition as our next weekly photo challenge, but I want to use one of the things that we talked about.
How about Golden Rule?
Ooh, I thought about that one, but I thought about what about frame within a frame?
Okay. All right. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So let's do frame within a frame. That way, you know, because I think the Golden Rule one, we may have to expound. I want to see some good examples of a Golden Rule and possibly, you know, share that with the group. But a frame within a frame, I think, is one that we can easily do. And I think it would be easy to see whether or not they did it correctly. So is that good?
All right. Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to bring up? Because I think we're done.
I think we are good.
Good deal. One of the things I wanted to mention real quick, I should have mentioned when Mark was on. We're going to be having some bonus episodes. And this is going to be where Mark will talk with somebody. It'd be almost like an interview. And it's not going to be regular. It'll be sort of irregular, but it'll happen on a night where we don't record our regular episode. But we'll still use the same feed. And if it pops up, you can join in and listen. But we're going to try and do some things a little different and not have it, you know, we'll have our regular show, but then every once in a while, we'll be doing a bonus episode. So be on the lookout for those. And we'll let you know ahead of time on the Facebook group when those are going to happen so you can listen and participate. And I think that's it. So let me go ahead and do this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right, you can find me on Instagram, I am, and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo.
Excellent. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show notes, links to our Facebook group, YouTube, and other things by going to tinyshutter.com. All right, Matt, I think we're done. So why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, claiming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
I can't. I'm totally paralyzed. I'm all locked up.